نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العلي العظيم. In this wonderful poem of our beloved Dada Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alay, he mentions that the benefit of getting the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person who has got the enjoyment of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, day and night that person is in a different enjoyment, in different splendor. Once a person has got the ma'rifah, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what all of us have to make effort for. Yesterday, Murana Kamaluddin was here, he spoke and he said that Wuzur's given an example, that one person, he's enjoying himself, he's got candy, he's got some sweets, chocolates, he's eating the day. But now he's getting married, and now he's getting the enjoyment with his wife. So you tell him, you've got a choice. You must either enjoy the chocolate, or you must enjoy the enjoyment of the woman, their wife. So you say, any person, sweet is definitely nice. There's enjoyment in there. But now when a person gets other enjoyment, then he'll be prepared to give up all of the sweets, all of those chocolates. Because now it has got no value compared to the enjoyment a person is getting there. So when a person has got the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's feeling that closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all the enjoyments of this world come into it. It has no value actually in a person's eyes. It falls away from a person's eyes. And the person now, his whole heart is towards akhirah, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Difficulties come in his life also, but it is like nothing at all, because all the time his connection is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As they say, for example, a person is with his beloved, and now one thorn is pricking him, or something small is hurting him, one small ant is biting him. He doesn't feel it at all, because he is with his beloved, he's got this connection all the time. So this is what we all have to build up, we have to make effort, and this is why we come to the Khanka, sit in the company of the Allah Walas, our Hazrat, Abdul Hamid Sahib, Da'un Barakatum Al-Aliya. These qualities which he has got in his heart, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we come with this intention. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the barakat of these majalis, grant us also a share of this great bounty of the love and the qurb and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should come with that intention. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kareem, he's very, very kind. If you just got the intention, comes in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whoever draws closer to me by one handspan, I will draw close to him by two handspans. You draw close to Allah ta'ala by one arm's length, Allah ta'ala will draw closer to a person by two arm's length. If a person walks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will run to that person. So just a bit of talab from our side, we must have that desire that, oh Allah, I want you. Oh Allah, I want your closeness. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I desire you. And see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to a person. May Allah ta'ala grant myself first and all of us the tawfiq and reality. Inshallah, regarding the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one very simple and easy sunnah, and which Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq, we should bring it into our lives. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that the people of the past, it was their habit, that every single day in their life they would give sadaqah, they would give charity. In the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was a habit. Even if it was one slice of bread or something, but they would make sure they would give some in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last night in the Jami Masjid there was a program. Mawlana Abdullah Daveria, Mawlana Muhammad Chotia, Mawlana Ahmad Chotia, Sahab Da'un Barakatum, they went to Syria and they gave a karguzari of the halat and the conditions in the country, a beloved country of which is very, very dear and beloved to the Muslims, and the halat and the conditions that the Muslims are undergoing there. And they said very beautifully that we are having a fighting about our enjoyments and our luxuries. Those people haven't got basic food. They say they went to one place. The people there, they're living, at least they've got a house now. MashaAllah, many Muslims have donated. But this, what is their house? One room. And now 5, 7, 8 of them are living in that room. And the food they get once a day. First they were getting twice a day, but now there are so many refugees, over 6.5 million people, refugees in the country. And he says there's such difficulty. Firstly, all of us, it's our duty to make dua for them. We should at least have that feeling in our heart. And unfortunately, as Maulana said, our hearts are dead today. It's not that they are weak, it's gone like dead. So we hear all of these conditions, it doesn't affect a person. Some ulama have mentioned that if a person reads news, this reading of news is very, very unhealthy. It's not good at all for a person just to read news. Because when a person continues reading news, his heart becomes dead. Because for example, today you see a person murdered somebody, tomorrow again you see somebody murdering somebody. So after 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, now you keep hearing the story over and over again. It's like part of nature. It has to be taking place. Compared to a person who never heard this in his life, now first time in his life he heard somebody, he committed a murder, he's got a shock of his life. What an evil thing this is. So because we are reading the news all the time, we're listening to it, it's become part of our nature. And a boy is going off with a girl, he got a girlfriend, we say, oh, it's part of nature, it has to happen like that. Whereas it's a kabira guna, 50 years ago, if our grandfathers ever had to hear of something like that, the whole town will be a big uproar in the town. How can this person ever do such an evil action? But today, because we are so used to it, unfortunately, it's a lack of our iman, it's a weakness of our iman. If a person has to read the news, immediately a person must make dua. If you see somebody in difficulty, make dua for that person. So inshallah, your fikr and concern will remain. If you don't make dua at that time, you just, like this pass by, if you just keep reading it, eventually the heart becomes less and less, weaker and weaker and weaker, eventually it dies. So a person has to have that fikr and concern all the time. You read news, somebody was killed, make immediately lift up your hands. Make dua for Allah, to Allah Ta'ala, ya Allah, please alleviate the plight of these people. Make it easy for these people. Shower your rahmat and mercy upon these people. So the fikr and concern will remain within a person. Otherwise, eventually the heart dies and a person has no fikr. So we hear these 6 million people, they are displaced. It doesn't even cross our minds. 500,000 children who are orphans. Gee, Mulana said they went to that room in the orphanage and the children ran up to them, just wanted to hug them and hold them. Because they've got no father, no mother, just somebody to hold them and to hug them. They used to feel that this feeling of love. Every day we've got children at home and we take it for granted. What a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go and hug them. But what and what these people are going through. So he says that they went to that place and the food that people eat, just crushed wheat. And that's once a day also. Normally twice a day they were giving food, they haven't got enough food now. So now they have cut it into half. So only once a day they get food and not something nice, just the crushed wheat. And they say they tasted that thing, it was not something to talk about. It's like not even like bread you're getting. And that's the only food they are getting for 24 hours. And the children are crying. But this is the only food they can afford. So what and what ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has given us. So firstly we should make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wherever in the world we fear for our Muslim brothers and sisters are going through some difficulty, if Allah has given us the means, try and send some there. And even better, what our Buzrugani Deen, it was their habit, our Sheikh also his habit, that every month from our salary, whatever money we are making, take out a certain portion. Besides our zakat, zakat is 2.5%. That's the lowest level of stinginess. And you can't be more stingy than that. 2.5% is the lowest level of stinginess. That's why Allah Ta'ala made it. This is for us. If you are less giving less than this, you are the most stingy person in the world. And according to one hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sharaj in Tarheeb, something to the effect is mentioned, that if all the Muslims of the world discharge their zakat, just the Muslims in the world discharge their zakat, the money will be sufficient for all the needs of all the Muslims in the world. Just if the Muslims in the world discharge their zakat, that is sufficient for all the Muslim needs of the world. Not the luxury, but the basic needs of the Muslim of the world will be met. Allah has made the system in the world, 2.5% is sufficient. But unfortunately, so many people are not paying zakat. So therefore, we should take the opportunity. And what great virtues they are for spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this world also, in the qabr also, on the day of qiyamah also, and in Jannah. Great, great rewards. Inshallah, we will just mention a few rewards, which the ulama have mentioned, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person who spends one small kajur, just one kajur, but from halal earnings. And he says, وَلَا يَقْبَرُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبُ. Allah does not accept except pure. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it with his right hand. It means Allah will show a lot of barakat and blessings in that. And then Allah ta'ala will continue growing that money for that person. Like how a person has got a small foal, a small horse, and he's growing his animal, making it bigger and bigger and bigger. Until eventually that one jade a person has given in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be the size of a mountain. When a person will go on the day of Qiyamah, one kajuri gave, it will become the size of a mountain. So a person, wherever we get the opportunity, a person must try to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And small, small amounts also, Allah ta'ala has got great, great value for it, but according to the ikhlas and sincerity of a person. Hazrat Amir rahmatullah alayhi says, from here we learn, that normally we hear that if a person spends in the path of Allah, he will get 700 times more. He says 700 times is very little, but Wallahu yudu'aifu limay yasha. See, because one kajur, if we take it and we get 700 kajurs, how much is that? So maybe this small hill here. But here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying a person will get the size of a mountain. And one hadith comes the size of Mount Uhud. And if a person has seen Mount Uhud, how big it is, massive it is. For one kajur a person has given in the path of Allah, he will get the size of Mount Uhud according to his sincerity. So a person must give. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, similarly, if a person gives charity of one slice of bread, one portion of bread, not even a whole slice, just a kisra, small portion of it, it will grow in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until it becomes the size of Uhud. One hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ma naqasat sadaqatun min malin. Sadaqah will never get less because, your money will never ever get less because of sadaqah. And a person will give in the path of Allah ta'ala, many, according to our logic, my money is going to get less. I'm giving in the path of Allah ta'ala, how can I give so much? So money becomes less. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, don't worry. You give charity, your money will never become less. Allah will look after you. I remember my husband mentioned one story. Haji Farooq Saab, Rahmatullahi once mentioned many years ago, Hazrat mentioned a story we heard from him, that there was one person in Pakistan, it was his habit that he used to give his zakat 2.5%, he was a very wealthy person, and another 2.5% he used to give in lillah. Whatever zakat he used to give, same amount he used to give in lillah. That time there was partition between India and Pakistan. He was a person who used to manufacture weapons and sell weapons. Very, very wealthy person. They had, Allah had given them quite a bit of wealth, but he used to give in charity. When India and Pakistan broke up, he had to run. They had to leave India and go to Pakistan. They came to Pakistan with nothing now. They had nothing at all. But Allah Ta'ala made it such that from England, he had one shipment of weapons were coming to his company. They had ordered some weapons, so it was coming to his company. So he sent a letter to England, that don't send it to India, but he redirected it to Pakistan. So when the shipment of weapons came there, the Pakistan government was a new government, they needed weapons. So they bought the weapons from him at a very, very high price. He charged him a very high price and he made a big profit. And whatever money he had left in India, Allah Ta'ala gave him all of that back immediately. And he says that this is through the barakat and the blessings of the sadaqah which he was giving. How Allah's help and assistance will come to a person. So a person, according to his mind and logic, if I'm giving charity, my money is going to get less. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your money will never become less. And on the other hand, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى. Allah will definitely destroy riba. Interest, insurance, policies, all of this, yeah, Allah will destroy that day. Once somebody wrote to Mufti Ma'musa, rahmatullahi alayhi, and told him, Hazrat, that, somebody came to my house and they robbed me, and all my money, I had interest money. They stole all of the day. My halal money also went. So Mufti Sahab rahmatullahi wrote to him that never mind your halal money, you lucky your life never go. Because normally what is haram money, it's interest money, insurance money, and you're lucky only when it joins up with your halal money, it destroys everything. And normally it destroys your life also. So you say, make sure your life never go also. So this, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ رِبَى. Allah says, I myself destroy the riba, the interest which a person is taking. Or يُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. And Allah Ta'ala increases the person in sadaqah. Allah gives a person great amounts, abundance of sadaqah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying here, that according to your logic, sadaqah will get less. But don't worry, money will never become less because of sadaqah. وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عَزًّا. Allah increases a banda because of making maaf in izzat and honor. You make somebody maaf, you think, you know what, if I'm making maaf, I'm lowering myself. Allah says, no, I'll increase you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah will increase you in honor. And وَمَا تَوَاذَا أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ. Any person humbles himself for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise that person up. So these are the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One hadith here, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that once there was a person, this is a very, very famous incident, which Hazrat Amir rahmatullah is mentioning, I think that one of the first stories is mentioned in Baishi Zawar, that there was a person walking in the jungle once, and he heard a voice in the clouds, and the voice said, Iski hadikata fulanin, send down water to so-and-so person's garden. So then the clouds started moving now. It was all clouds together. This one cloud separated itself, it started moving, and it started sending down water in one place, in one area. From there, there was a canal, and the water started moving in that canal. Now this man is following this water. He heard of this voice in the cloud saying, go to so-and-so person's garden and send the water down. So he started following the water. He comes there and he sees one man standing in his garden. He's got a spade and he's turning the water around. So he said, oh, Ya Abdullah, ma ismuka? Oh, servant of Allah, what's your name? So he said, my name is so-and-so. And the same name which he heard in the clouds, somebody was making an announcement in the clouds, go to his garden. So it was the same sound. So he said, why are you asking me about my name? So he said, you know actually what I heard? I heard in the clouds, somebody saying that they must come to your garden. So tell me, I want to know what's the reason for that. Why is the water coming specially to your garden? He said, okay, because now you have told me this here and you've heard my name, I'll have to tell you my secret. I look at whatever produce comes up from my garden, whatever money I make from this garden, and I divide it into three portions. One third I give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One third I give in the path of Allah ta'ala. One third I eat myself and my family. We use it, utilize it in our home, for our family, for our own needs. And one third I put back in the business, in my garden, I return it there. So one third I'm giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one third. This is the ulama say, what the sahaba radiallahu anhu generally, this was their habit and tartib also, that they would give one third in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very, very great amal. If you can't give so much, but at least some portion a person must take out. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi used to say, the daily a person must do, what he must do is, whenever he gets money, now you must decide, the person must decide, I'm going to take out 10% or 5%. Then he must have an envelope with him, or have a packet with him. Take out the money, put it inside that packet. This is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now a collector will come, you will see a poor person. Now at that time you take out money, is difficult. But if the money is in the packet, you'll be actually looking for opportunities. When can I give this person, when can I give this person? You will start looking for opportunities.
And what great virtues. I was reading one hadith yesterday, a few days ago. Said Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever builds a masjid, and some hadith it comes, even though it's the size of a nest, then it's not the whole masjid, one brick you gave also. Banallahu lahu baytan fil jannah, Allah will build for that person one house in Jannah. So imagine, one small brick you gave for a masjid, but you're getting a palace in Jannah for the day. In this world, if you want to build a house, how much of effort is needed, how many years it takes you, how much of money it takes you. But in the akhirah, you spend 5 rand, you're getting one house in Jannah. And so easy it is. Ulama say that is why, once Mufti Mahmud Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi was in Darul Mispingo, so he took out the money, he gave it to Mufti Ibrahim Salaji Sahab, and he said, yes, I'll give for the madrasa. So Mufti Sahab said, there's no need for you, like, you know, alhamdulillah, we're doing well in the madrasa end of the day. And so Mufti Sahab said, no, he said, your people's need is my need. I also want a share in your madrasa. So if I'm putting some money, yeah, I'm also going to get a share in it. So I put my share everywhere, wherever I get opportunity. So if, for example, they are building 20 masjids in South Africa, so put our money there. If you can't put 100 rand, you can't put 1,000 rand, put 50 rand. Put 20 rand in every masjid. So as long as that masjid is in existence, as long as people are performing namaz in that masjid, you're going to get your share there. So wherever you get the opportunity, little bit money also. So much so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, that one person's one dirham he gives is better than another person's 100,000 dirhams. So Hazrat Ali rahmatullahi alayhi wa sallam, the meaning of this is, one person gives one dirham, one rand in the path of Allah ta'ala. Another man gives 100,000. But this man, he only had 2 dirhams by him. So 50% of his money he gave in the path of Allah, 1 dirham. Another man had 1 million rand. He gave 10% only. So Allah Ta'ala, in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, that man's 1 dirham is far more valuable than the 100,000 of the other person. So it's not how much you give. It is with the sincerity and ikhlas you give. Once there was an alim from Bangladesh, yeah? So he was mentioning to me that Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah Ali, one khalifa, whenever he used to have this collection for masajid, or madrasa, so he used to give bayans, and he used to go to the poor areas normally. So he used to take out his topi and send it around, put whatever money you can give in there. So the people used to put little bit money. So people ask him, Hazrat, why are you wasting so much of time? So little bit money comes, for example, the project is, for example, 1 million rand. Now you're taking out your topi and sending it around, maybe you're getting 500 rand. And the project is 1 million rand. If you went to one rich man, immediately you'll get 5,000 rand, 10,000 rand, you'll get 700 rand, 800 rand, far more than how much you're getting in this. In the stopy of yours, 1,000 you're getting. So he said, no, you see, in a poor person's money, there's more sincerity. If I collected 500, and this is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that masjid is accepted, that means. That means Allah ta'ala himself will make the arrangements for the other 950,000, 900,000, whatever, 999,000, because this money was accepted. The money is accepted, the masjid has to be built. So because of the poor people generally, there's much more sincerity in them. So I got hope, that's why I'm giving this money in the path of Allah ta'ala. So we should never ever lose that I cost no money or whatever. Whatever a person gives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, inshallah Allah will accept that from a person. So wherever we get the opportunity, try to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Amir rahmatullah Ali mentioned one story also of one lady. She was, when she was very hungry, she never had much food in the house. She was eating food. A beggar came to the house. So whatever food was in her mouth, she took it out, the only food she had, and she gave it to the beggar. And the beggar went away. Anyhow, after a while, she fell pregnant, and a baby was born to her. And as the baby grew up a bit, maybe it was a few years old, a wolf came only to the house. And the wolf came and caught hold of the child. And the wolf was running away with the child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel, and he told the angel, go and remove the child from the mouth of the wolf. Do not allow the wolf to cause any harm to the child. And return the child back to the mother. And tell the mother that it was because of that sadaqah which he gave so long ago, Allah Ta'ala is saving a child today. So our assistance of Allah Ta'ala's divine assistance comes to a person when you are given the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant myself and all of us tawfiq and ability that we should try to get in the habit of spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A few other riwayats, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that ittaqun nar, fear the fire of Jahannam, walau bishikki tamratin, even though it is a small piece of kajur. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that وَتَدْفَعُ مِيْتَةَ السُّوءِ. One benefit of sadaqah is that it will remove a bad death from a person. A person will be saved from an evil death by giving charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that تُدْفِعُ غَدَبَ الرَّبِّ. It will remove the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ صَدَقَةَ لَتُدْفِعُ غَدَبَ الرَّبِّ وَتَدْفَعُ مِيْتَةَ السُّوءِ. And removes an evil death from a person. One hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that 70 doors of an evil death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove by means of sadaqah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you get two types of people. One is a rich, a stingy person, and one is a generous person. So he says, the example of a stingy person and a generous person is, like two men they are, and they've got their armor on them, made of steel. So now, normally the armor, he got it from here, from the top of his, from his hands, it comes to his collarbone, and coming down to the chest. When a person starts giving sadaqah, as you start giving sadaqah, in the beginning it's a bit difficult, but this thing starts opening up upon a person. And that armor becomes lighter and lighter upon the person, until eventually it comes and covers up the whole person's arms, comes to his nails also. And it comes and covers up the footsteps the person is doing. It means it covers the whole body now. And, so this is the example of a generous person. What it means when you start giving, in the beginning it's difficult, but as you give, it becomes easier and easier and easier. Now it's like covering your whole body, benefiting your person. On the other hand, the example of a bakhil and a stingy person is, whenever he thinks of sadaqah, that armor becomes tighter and tighter upon him, and the halkas and these things which are around the steel, the links become tighter and tighter upon a person. That thing becomes like so straightened upon a person. Even if a person wants to give now, he can't even move his hand out. It becomes more and more difficult. So eventually a person reaches such a level where the highest level of stinginess is found within a person, and a person cannot give sadaqah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned here also in the Kitab al-Raghib, the story of one great worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For many, many years he made the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a worship of the Bani Israel. And 60 years he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day the rain came down, it was very, very green. So this rahib and his worshipper, he stood out of the window to look at the beautiful scenery, the greenery outside. So he said, it was so nice if I go outside of my place and I make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will increase in goodness. He went down, he had a slice of bread with him, a loaf of bread, or two loaves of bread. While he was down on the earth, one woman came to him. Now, how shaitan deceives a person, he started speaking to her. And she started speaking to him. And eventually, as shaitan made this woman so look so attractive to him, unfortunately fell into guna and sin. And he made zina with her. Then he fell unconscious. He went to a place to make ghusl, he washed himself. One beggar came there, and he made ishara and signed to him that, you see the two loaves of bread there? Take it away. And after a short while later, he passed away. His 60 years of ibadat was taken and placed on one scale of the wazan. And it was, and with the zina, the action of zina and fornication which he had done was placed on the other side of the scale. The zina and the fornication overpowered the 60 years of ibadat. So now it was that the evil deeds were much more heavier than the good deeds. Thereafter, the two loaves of bread were placed on the scale also. What ikhlas and sincerity, he must have felt remorse at that time. And he made his sincere tawbah and he had given the thing in the path of Allah Ta'ala, having no other food. And all his good deeds now became stronger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave the person because of that. So what a great thing. Sadaqah is how it helps a person in this dunya and the akhirat also. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq and ability. We should get in the habit of giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so the ulama say also in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the best sadaqah is when a person gives quietly also. Person tries to give quietly. Doesn't have to make a big show of it. I'm giving so much of money. One hadith it comes that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, seven people will be under Allah's arsh on the day of Qiyamah. One of them is a person who spends sadaqah so quietly that his left hand doesn't know what his right hand is spending. It means he doesn't know, quietly he's giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person was giving this in such a way, then Allah ta'ala's special help will come to him. There is a story of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu anhu is mentioned. There was Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu anhu, because his mizaj also, he was a bit of a hot mizaj he had, and he was a very, very great zahid. And he could not bear to see other sahaba radiallahu anhu having money. He felt it was a big sin to have money. Anything extra a person has got, him has given the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person mustn't keep. If a person passes away, one sahabi passed away and he had inheritance money, so he got very upset, how can you have inheritance money? So imagine Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu eventually encouraged him to go and stay in a place out in the outskirts of Medina Munawara, because he could not bear to stay with the people there. He was living in this place called Rabada. There was one person who came to him, and that person wanted to make khidmat from the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Sahabat was a very, very great thing, stay in the company of your elders. So he came to stay in his company, and Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu anhu told him, that you can stay in my company on one condition. You have to follow my conditions. The condition is, whatever I ask you to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must give the best. You must make sure you give the best. He said, no problem, I accept the condition. So once there was some problem in a nearby area, and the people came there and they were looking, there was no food there. So Abu Zar told him that, you know what, go get one camel, my best camel, go fetch my camel, and we will cut it and give the meat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people will enough food for them. So the man went, and now he's looking for a camel. It was the best camel, there was a he camel. Now normally he camels are used for breeding purposes also, to get more camels. Female camels are very, very common, but the he camels to get is a bit difficult. So he saw the he camel there, he wanted to take it. He said, but you know what, we can use this camel for breeding purposes. So why must I use this here? It'll get wasted. I'd rather take one female, the second best. Not the best, the second best. It's a very, very expensive one also, but it's the second best. So anyhow, he took that camel. When he came to Abu Zar radiallahu anhu, Abu Zar radiallahu anhu looked at the camel and said, you have broken your promise. So immediately he took the camel back. He went and he brought the best camel. Abu Zar radiallahu anhu told him, right, cut the animal, they distributed the meat. And then Abu Zar radiallahu anhu asked him, that did you make a mistake? You never knew which was the best camel, or did you do it purposely? If you did, made a mistake, I can understand. If not purposely, then you'll have to leave me. So then the man explained to him, the man said, no, actually, I can't speak a lie. I purposely did it, and I thought it would be used for your benefit. It would be for your benefit. So he said, I must tell you when is the time of my benefit, when I will need the benefit, and I will go in the qabr. And I will go in the qabr. That is the time when I will need the most amount of saman, goods. That is what I am sending it forward for. And then Abu Zar radiallahu anhu said, you see, there are three partners in a person's wealth. Three partners. The one person, partner in your wealth is taqdeer. That is, for example, the person keeps money, I'll use it later on, after 3 years, 2 years, I'm going to do this here, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to use this here. And then suddenly a calamity comes and the money is destroyed, everything is taken away. So that's taqdeer. Something is going to happen to that money. The second partner in your money is your heirs. They're making dua, when are you going to die? So that they can take, become your inheritance and get your money. They actually don't think about you. And after you die, they fight like cats and dogs about that money. They don't even think about their father. They don't think about their family people. Their maqsad and object of life was to get that money. And he says the third person, the third shareholder in your money is yourself. Whatever you have sent forward to the akhirat. He says don't be the smallest shareholder in your money. Send your money to the akhirat, to the year after. So that I'm not going to wait for taqdeer to come and take away my money. And I don't want to wait for the day I die and my heirs come and take away that money. That is why I'm sending it. And he says the other thing is, whatever a person loves the most for himself, he must spend that in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah ta'ala says, لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُونَ. You can never reach the highest levels of piety unless you don't spend that thing which you love the most yourself. What you love, a person must spend that in the path of Allah ta'ala. This is a sign of true iman within a person. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu used to give sugar a lot in the path of Allah ta'ala. People ask him, give bread, it's more beneficial. He said, I love sugar. That is why what a person loves, the person must spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq and ability. This is one taqaza which has come now in Syria, but always there are taqazas. And actually this is a wonderful opportunity. Allah is giving us a chance. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says, when a beggar comes to your house, then don't think you are doing him a favor. He is doing you a favor. You must do it, you must give him the thing with this feeling, that he is doing me a favor, he is taking my money towards akhirat. If a person comes from a bank, and he tells you, I'm going to give you 10%, you'll give him what a welcome, come sit down in my house, you'll give him tea, 10%, 20% returns I'm getting from this person. How happy you'll be with that person. Every time you meet him, you make salam with him. But he's giving you 10%, 20%. That beggar is coming to your house. It's obvious you have to treat people according to their level. You're not going to give him that izzat and honor. But just to show him, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah, I think that person is taking your money to akhirat. So how much you should be, like you are muhtaj of him, you are in need of him. He's not doing you a favor. You are not doing him a favor, he's doing you a favor. He's taking your money towards akhirat. As Hazrat says always, that when a collector comes, sometimes we don't want to give them, the way we treat them, and that this is completely incorrect for a believer. Because that person, if he's taking our money, even if he was in the wrong, he's a liar, he's taking lies, but according to your intention, you'll get a full reward of the day. According to your intention, inshallah, if you had given, you made a few investigations, or you felt it was right, and you gave the money, inshallah, that person will get the full reward of it. Because your intention was sincere. So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to be spending the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These opportunities come, Allah Ta'ala is giving us a test. This is our imtihan. The imtihan of those people is very, very severe. We cannot bear and manage that imtihan, what they are going through. But our duty is to make dua for them firstly, and financially, wherever we can help them. Not only there are many, many other projects in South Africa, throughout the world, where a person can spend his money. Use our money in these things. As Maulana was saying yesterday, he told one person that, you know, if your wedding, instead of spending 100,000 rand, you cut it down, 10,000 rand. You say, people are telling you, you're mad. Nobody spends 100,000 rand on a wedding. Wedding million is the minimum, or even much more than the people are spending. Whereas nikah is supposed to be so simple. So where the money is supposed to be spent, if it's not spent in that correct place, there's one hadith, a very weak hadith, Targhib also mentioned in Kitab al-Hajj, wherein Allah Ta'ala says, that when the people don't spend their money in the correct places, I will make them spend their money in wrong places. then money will completely be destroyed. So if we are not spending our money in the correct places, we are destroying our money, we are destroying our akhirah. And when a person starts spending, see what Allah Ta'ala will give to him. Once I had this incident, this waqiyah, that there was one person of the Bani Israel, he was extremely poor, extremely poor. So, once Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he told Musa alayhi salam, you know, me in my life I've never seen any goodness. I've got nothing at all. So when you go to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever is written for me, till the day I pass away, give it to me one time. Give it to me one time. I'll get all that money now. At least once in my life I can get some enjoyment. After that, whatever difficulty I go through, I will die, never mind. But at least all my rosy of whatever is written for me must come to me. So I don't know if the story is true, whatever anyhow, but some buzrus have mentioned this waqiyah. So anyhow, in Musa alayhi salam, when he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the dua was accepted, so whatever was written for that person, for the rest of his life, came with that person. So anyhow, Musa alayhi salam, and he was not much also, very little, but Musa alayhi salam gave it to that person and went away. After 1 year, Musa alayhi salam comes to the same place, and he sees a massive palace, the mansion there, and the person has got servants, and the same person, and he's got food, and Allah has given him so much. So now he's shocked. That last year, whatever was his rosy, I had given it to him, and now so much more he's got. So then he asked the person, how come you got so much? So he said, whatever came to me, I thought to myself, that, you know what, I'm going to do with this rosy. I give everything in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala gave me in this dunya already, whatever. Such great reward Allah Ta'ala has given me. So this is Allah Ta'ala's system in the world. You give sadaqah, Allah will increase for a person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and save us. Some buzruks have mentioned that they saw in South Africa, there were very dark clouds over South Africa. And it's because of the halat and our gunas and our sins that we are doing. But because of the sadaqah of the people, Allah Ta'ala is saving off and removing the punishment. Because the hadith says that sadaqah removes these things. So that's our only savior at the moment. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to have a generous heart always, spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give myself, firstly, it's easy to talk. One Maulana was giving a bayan, and he gave a bayan on the virtues of spending. So he went home, and he asked the wife, where's the dal khao? It's Friday, it's Juma, or biryani, whatever he was eating. Wife said, I heard your bayan, it was so powerful, I gave the whole pot in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, you're a fool, the bayan wasn't for us, it was for other people. So they must send my food for us, to us, extra food to us. So this shouldn't be our condition, that we are giving the bayan for other people, but for ourselves, and Allah Ta'ala give myself firstly the tawfiq and ability. Inshallah, just a few minutes we will spend reciting this morning in class in Riyadu Salihin, we were doing the chapter of ghibat. It is backbiting. And this also is a very common sickness. Kabir mentioned the two sicknesses. One is bad nazri, looking with the glancing with the eyes, and the other one is ghibat, which generally these are two sicknesses which takes a lot of effort for it to come off from a person. And the main reason for ghibat, as Tani Rahmatullah has mentioned, is because of kibar, because of pride in a person. That is why this ghibat is among in a person. What is the meaning of ghibat? The Hazrat says here, that the ghibat means, kisi musalman ki ghair maujoodegi mein, any Muslim person, when he is not present, uski burai karna, to speak bad about him, ya uske ta'alluq wala, or anybody related to him, not himself, but himself, somebody regarding him. Example, misal awlad, his children, you know the guest children. They like this, yeah. Those people's children are like that, yeah. And this is one reason may Allah protect and save us. Normally, people who become a bit pious, because they start making ghibat about other people, so then the effects come back onto them. Example, you speak bad about somebody else's child, then your children, then people say, pious people always, their children are like this, yeah. We should not look at it like that for regarding ourselves. How come? Because Allah Ta'ala has got a system also. Nuh alayhi salam, his own child also, he was a slave, he did not accept Iman, Islam. It is a test from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we should never look down upon, but regarding ourselves. Because it comes in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not show happiness on your Muslim brother, on some difficulty of your Muslim brother. It can happen, Allah will have mercy upon him and put you in the same test. So a lot of times the person says, you know, these people are like that there, and these people are like that there, and they are like that there. And then eventually it comes back and hits the person very badly, it hits the person. And the person gets a bit of deen in his life, a bit of piety in his life, few zahiri amal come into his life. Now he starts looking down upon other people and thinks other people are like this, they are like that, there. So now he starts speaking about their children. Oh, his sawari, he's got a jalopi. Look at his car, what an ugly car he's got. Ya makan ki burai karna, look at his house. What an ugly, his curtains, you saw his, how old curtains he got. Why should we worry about that? They're looking at that person's house, that person's things. Zaban se, whether it's with your tongue, ya haat ke ishare se, with your hands. Example, you see, you know, he's so short like this, yeah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, once she was talking to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, you know, Safiya, the wife, they were a bit upset with her. She was very pretty, and she was originally from a Jewish background. She accepted Islam, And because of that, now it's obviously there'll be a bit of jealousy amongst the wives. So she said, you know what, your wife, she's so short. She made ishara with her hands. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if that speech of yours, or this ishara and sign which you have made it, if it is joined up with the water of the oceans, it will overpower it. It will destroy it. It will make it damage the water of the oceans. It's one word. What a great effect it has. Once in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some people were speaking, making ghibat. And there was a very, very bad smell in Medina Munawwara. And the reason for it was the ghibat. People were making ghibat, so the bad smell came there. So the ulama asked a question, that how come in today's time so much ghibat is taking place, we don't get the smell? So they give two answers. One answer is, perhaps it was a miracle in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to show the people that this is the effect of ghibat. The other answer, the ulama have written, is that when something becomes common in the air, then if it's a bad smell, also it goes away. If you're living in a place where there's mitai only, all the time you're smelling that mitai, you get in the habit of smelling that mitai. But if you are working in a sewage dump, so you stay in the beginning, first 1-2 days is very hard. But as you're living there for 1 month, 2 months, it becomes part of your nature. You don't even get the smell. If somebody else comes there, he gets a shock of his life. How can a person be living there? But it's part of your nature. So if a person is living in a place where there's ghibah taking place all the time, so that stink is there, but we don't even get the smell of it. It shows that our his has become completely dead. This, I was reading Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib. He had mentioned one point. He said, Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi, once he was crying very profusely. So people asked him, why are you crying? Somebody asked him. So it was a jalsa in Jeoban at that time. So Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, that, you know, I missed my Takbir Ula today. He was crying so much. You see, after 35 years, this is the first time I'm missing my Takbir Ula. After 35 years, first time I missed my Takbir Ula. And he made it. He just, when the surah started, he started saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, whatever. He made it for that time. Not he missed the whole rakat or anything. He made it, but late. He normally was so used to getting his Takbir Ula, the first Takbir. And according to the view, the most correct view, if you take his right, is that a person has got Takbir Ula. If you come there and the surah starts, and you say the Takbir, also the Takbir Ula regarded. The ulama said the Takbir Ula. But still he wasn't happy. That why the first Takbir wasn't there. He said, look at his face, the feeling in his heart for a small action like that there. And he said, we on the other hand, namazes can go also, we don't even feel anything about it because our hearts are dead. So similarly this here, but we speak about other people, but we don't even feel it after that there. Or a person makes ishara with the eyes, that the person is blind, or the person is kana, is one-eyed. Or a person lowers his back. Look at the guy, how he's walking with his back like that there. Khulasa, in short, apne bhai ka zikr karna, speaking about your brother, that if he was present, he would feel it bad. So this is called ghibat. Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the quality in that person? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then that is ghibat. And the quality is in that person, that's backbiting. And if the quality is not in that person, that's buhtan. That is slandering that person. So, whenever a person wants to speak about somebody, think, if this person was here, would I have spoken these words? Would he have felt nice or not nice? If you were your heart tells you that this person won't feel nice if I speak these words here in front of him, that's ghibat. Even if that word is correct. And if the word is not correct, then this is completely buhtan. He says, however, for the islah hal, correcting somebody's condition, you go to somebody's father and mother and tell him, you know, your children are like this, here, this is what they are doing. Or you go to the ustad and tell him your student is like this. Or you go to the murid, the peer, and tell him your murid is doing this. Yeah, this is not regarded as ghibat. But your intention is islah ala hal. A lot of times the person, because he wants to get back at somebody else. So now he goes to the sheikh, you know, this person is like this. Yeah, not because of making islah of that person, correcting that person. He never made dua for that person, nothing. But the guy must get in trouble. As a sheikh, I'll become famous by the sheikh. This person must come in trouble. So he goes with that intention. So that's completely wrong. So anyhow, but if a person goes with the intention of islah, correcting somebody, this is very, very good. And this is unfortunately also one quality which has come out of people today. That the whole town will speak about a certain matter, but the person regarding who the matter is, nobody will go to him and tell him that, you know what, this is wrong. Everybody else will discuss it and they'll speak about it. But nobody will go to the father. And on the other hand also, is our fault also. We are not prepared to take criticism. If somebody comes and says, your son is like this, yeah. I say, but you know your son, he is worse, he's 10 times worse. Nobody will say that, you know what, when Hazrat Ali rahmatullah alayhi, a person used to come to him and say, you know, maybe give me maaf, I made ghibat about you. Hazrat Ali rahmatullah said, no problem, I'll make you maaf on one condition. You must tell me what you made ghibat about. I want to know what you're thinking about me. I want to know what people are generally thinking about me. And then he used to say, because if they're making ghibat, it's true. It shows I got a weakness in myself. So at least if they tell me what they spoke about me, I can try to correct myself. So he used to get happy when somebody would come and tell him, I made this is what actually we found wrong in you. So you tell us, tell my fault, so I can correct myself. Imagine what ikhlas and sincerity. Mullah Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, when people used to write letters to him, and very, very bad letters. So Mullah Yahya was his khadim khas, he used to hide the letters away. He never used to give it to him. So Mullah Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, for a very long time now, the Barelvi, the Bidatis, who used to write against him, our friends haven't written letters to us. He said, Hazrat, they're writing letters, but they're writing very, very bad things. I don't learn. Let you read, listen to it. He said, no, I want to listen to it. Because my friends, they only praise me. They'll never say anything bad about me. They'll never tell me my faults. These people, a lot of times, they'll see faults in us. They look for faults. Some will be wrong, but then many of them will be right. So at least if I can hear my faults from them, I can correct myself. So this is sincerity within a person when he's got the trigger for his Islam. Anyhow, the Hazrat mentions there after this, in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Al-ghibatu ashaddu min al-zina. Then the ghibat is worse than zina. The reason the ulama has mentioned is that zina is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person makes zina, he feels regret in his heart. Immediately he'll make tawbah. He'll feel bad about it. The nadamah and sorrow comes into his heart. And Haji Abdullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullah has mentioned an ajib thing. He says that the reason why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, in one aspect, zina is worse than ghibat, is zina is because of pride. Ghibat is because of pride. Pride is the quality of shaitan. And zina is an animalistic quality in a person. Lust and desire in a person is a quality of an animal. It's an animalistic quality. So a person does it because he's overpowered by lust. And ghibat, a person does it because of pride. Takabbur. Hazrat Amir rahmatullah says that the greatest ilaj and cure for ghibat is tawazu. When a person gets humility within himself. When a person has got humility and he only sees fault within himself, he won't have time at all to discuss anybody else, speak evil about anybody else. This person is like that, that person is like that, and these people are doing these things. He won't have time for that there. But this is when a person starts seeing his own fault. The other reason the ulama says that if a person asks Allah Ta'ala for maafi in zina, Allah will forgive that person. He doesn't have to go to anybody else. But in ghibat, a person has to go to ask that person for maafi also. But here obviously, we should not, Hazrat Amir rahmatullah said also, we should learn from our Hazrat, that ghibat, the reason why it's haram, it's because it is causing harm to another person. Now, that person doesn't know you made ghibat about him. You don't go and tell him, I made ghibat about you, and you know me and that person, we all made ghibat about you. Because now that person will become more angry. At first, he didn't know about it. Now he feel hurt. Oh, you made ghibat about me. What a ghibat you made. You tell him now, then all the other people's names you tell him, he'll become angry with everybody. So if he didn't know about it, either in a normal way, you say, by whatever has gone to be transpired between us, make us maaf, forgive one another. That way there, or a person makes dua for that person, and he goes back to the group of people where he made ghibat and tells them, you know what, whatever I said about that person, I think it was wrong. I got no proof for that there. Perhaps he's not like that there. A person must clarify it in front of that people. That's a very difficult thing to do. So the best is rather a person keeps quiet. Man samata naja, a person who keeps quiet, inshallah, he'll be saved from all of these things. And if we have to think back how much ghibat we have made in our lives, Allah make us maaf, the person has to continuously have the fikr and concern for himself. He says, Hazrat Amir rahmatullah has mentioned, ki ghibat adawat ka baap bhi hai aur beta bhi hai. Yani kabhi ghibat karne se adawat aur nafrat paida hoti hai. He says, ghibat is the father of adawat, of enmity, and is also the son of enmity. What he means by this here? Ghibat, by making ghibat, it creates enmity in the heart, hatred for one another. And sometimes before enmity, because before you got enmity, that's why you start making ghibat about the person. Because you hate that person, you start making ghibat about that person. So he says that person whose nasab, whose lineage is so bad, he's the father also and he's the son also. We can imagine how bad he is. Ghibat is the father also, enmity is the son also. Now if a person is the father and the son, what a bad person he must be. So he says that it shows what an evil guna this is. Hazrat says, ghibat se, aaj kal shayad hi koi majlis khali ho. Today unfortunately there might be no majlis and gathering at all which is free from ghibat. Never mind the awam, even the khawas, those people who cause some ta'aluk with Allah Ta'ala, who sit in the khanka, who sit for programs, ulama, they are also involved in it. That is why Hazrat Amir rahmatullah alayhi ne us gunah ko tark karne ka bahut ihtimam se bayan farmaya. He mentioned with great emphasis that a person must leave this gunah and this sin. He says if a person gets the tawfiq, whoever's ghibat he has made, ask him for maaf. However, if the person does not know of the ghibat, and if you are going to inform him about it, it will make, there's a fear he will become more saddened about it, and the nafrat and dislike will be created in the heart. Then make a firm intention, and inshallah in future I will never make ghibat of that person, and start praising that person. Especially amongst those people who you made ghibat about him. Praise that person. And tell the person I made a mistake by making ghibat about him. And make dua for that person. Make some tilawat of Quran Sharif for that person. Read Qul Huwallahu Ahad at least 3 times. For many days send the rewards for that person. So inshallah, there's hope on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the person, that person will forgive you, or Allah ta'ala will reward that person so much that the person will make you maaf on the day of Qiyamah. He says, imagine, on the day of Qiyamah, a person, all your good deeds which you are doing, you are giving it to somebody else. Hazrat Amir rahmatullahi alayhi, ajib tawazu he had. So he said, you know me, I know why people are making hibat about me. You know, it's Allah's great fadl and kindness upon me, people are making so much of hibat about me. He said, you know, when I was young, I lived off my father's earnings. As I grew older also, I lived for many years off my father until I grew old. And then, now, after that, for a few years I worked, I earned for my deen actually, but I earned dunya with my deen. And I say after that he went in tawakkul, full tawakkul, when at the age of 40, when he went to the Khanqa of Tana, number one, he never took money. And whatever people used to send as hadiyahs, Hazrat Amir rahmatullah, I loved the life of tawakkul after that day. So he say, also now I'm taking the money of people. People's money is coming to me. So he say, in dunya I'm bekar also, I'm useless. In deen also I got no amal. So now Allah Ta'ala is actually sending the amal of people to me, because I got nothing of my own. So at least they're making hibat of me. This person is giving me his namaz. That person is making hibat about me, he's giving me his sadaqah. That person is making hibat, he's giving me this action of his. So at least I'm making some currency in the year after because of the people's hibat. So we are actually giving our good actions to the person who you hate. You don't like somebody, you think, here's my good actions, yeah, take my this action, take my namaz, take my zakat. That's why Imam Wanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, Sultan rahmatullah alayhi mentions also, and Hazrat also mentioned this here, that if you want to make hibat of anybody, make hibat of your mother. Why? At least the naked must remain in the house. Why are you sending it out to somebody else's house? At least your mother is getting, you love your mother, she'll get some sawab at least. And make hibat of somebody, make of your mother, your daughter, somebody close to you. So at least the naked will remain in the house. So how great and harmful is the sin of hibat is. If I'm not mistaken, it's Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi or Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, one of them said, in their whole life they never made hibat. What a quality that is. Their whole life, they made sure, that's why Allah Ta'ala has such great khidmat of deen from them, because they learn to control their tongue. So this is one very, very great thing, that a person, if we can learn how to control our tongue. Our Buzrus mentioned that before a person speaks, he must think, that whatever I'm going to say now, is it beneficial or not? If it's beneficial, then a person must say it. And if it's not beneficial, so much so, Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi has mentioned in one kitab, that even don't speak good about people. Don't speak good about people. Because the minute you start speaking good about people, then you say, but, and the one but, and he wipes out every good you spoke about that person. And they say, but, you know, he's very, very good, but. And then now you start all the hibat, and that's actually you trying to justify yourself, giving all the virtues of the person. Now you can make hibat of the person. So this is a quality which is based because of pride and takabbur. It comes within a person. So a person must think to himself that he's got one fault within himself. He's got faults. Everybody got faults in life. But I got the worst fault. I got takabbur in myself. So how can I, a person, which Hazrat Amir rahmatullah says, one person is locked up. You're putting him, he's about to be hanged. And he's looking at one person, that person is coughing, whatever. And, or that person, he got caught, speeding fine. He's looking at that person with a speeding fine and say, hey, this person is in big problems, whatever. But he's about to be hanged just now. You see, that person who got the kabur and pride and the hibat within himself, and he's looking at the other person and saying, that person, oh, what a big sinner he is. But he's not looking at his own self. So, a person who's got, or as it mentioned always, a person who got like cancer, and he's looking at that person who got a common cold, common cough, and now he's laughing at that person. So if we don't make ilaj of ourselves, correct ourselves, firstly we should make tawbah, cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Allah, what I have done for all these years is wrong completely, I must try to change myself. And every one of us, we need this reminder continuously. And then a person must try to read, as this kitab is mentioned also, in the many ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding the harms of he, but in this world also, how much of harm there is, and the day of Qiyamah also, in the year after also. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those women were fasting. They couldn't manage to keep their fast. Because when some sahaba was once they made hibat of somebody else, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them to pick their teeth, and actually the pieces of flesh came out. Ya Allah Ta'ala showed it to the sahaba radiallahu anhu, the reality of those actions, so that they can understand it and be a means for of guidance for the people coming later on. And never mind, listen, speaking hibat about yourself, speaking about hibat. Even listening to hibat, it was a very great tabi'i. And once he's sitting in a gathering where people are making hibat, he himself never spoke. But he just listened to them, he never tell them anything, he never wake up. And that night he saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought some meat to him, flesh, dead flesh. And he said, eat this here. So he said, how can I eat this? It's like, nah, it's haram. He said, no, you were eating your brother's flesh, that was worse than this here. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put that flesh into his mouth. So anyhow, he just a little bit came into his mouth and he left it, he woke up. And he said the bad smell remained in his mouth for quite a while, I think a whole week or whatever. For a very long while, the thing remained in his mouth. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was a beloved, to show him that he's doing a wrong action, to correct him for that day, this punishment was given to him. So we are all the time involved in this guna and sin, because our hiss is dead, our feelings are dead. So a person doesn't even realize this, yeah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant myself firstly and all of us tawfiq and ability. Firstly, make tawbah and istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Daily we should make tawbah. And then whatever wrongs we have done to people, we should try to correct it. And we should always try to speak good about people. Let us start looking for the goodness in other people. And when we start looking for good, inshallah, we will find so much of good in other people. And then we will find the weaknesses in ourselves. But the minute every person himself thinks, he thinks, we are very pious. And this is natural within a person, unless you don't make Islam change our condition. Every person has got love for himself. The most amount of love a person has got for himself. One person wrote to Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah Alayhi, see, other people's gunas, I also do the same guna, but I don't feel it so bad. But when another person does it, I feel that guna is worse. So Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah Alayhi said, there's nothing wrong with it. It's natural. Because a person has got love for himself. He say, when you go to the toilet and you're cleaning yourself, your stool is napak also, it's filth and dirt. And another person's stool is also napak and filth. But if you see somebody else's stool in the toilet, thinking, what a filthy person this person. And you feel upset also just looking at it there. But if it's your own stool, because it came out from you. So you got love for that there. So even if it's a stool, if you some food you're eating, put in your mouth, and you take out, you give it to another person, your beloved wife, eat this here. She said, you go and sleep. I'm not eating this food. You took it out. But you yourself, you put the thing back in your mouth again. Because it's from your own mouth. So what comes from a person himself, he got liking for that day. So even our gunas and our sins, we got liking. We think, no, we are okay. But the other people are like that. So it needs a change of a person's thinking completely. The opposite way he has to think now. Start looking at our faults. Start looking at our weaknesses. As a person does that, inshallah, then the sickness will come off from a person. And then Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah says, that's the final ilaj. The highest ilaj when tawazu will come into a person. But it says the fori ilaj, the immediate ilaj is, don't speak about anybody. Don't talk about anybody. Rather speak about yourself. Speak about your actions and be very, very careful what you are speaking. Inshallah, slowly, slowly, this quality will come up from a person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Make a few minutes zikr, inshallah.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Fadhkuruni yakhtumkum jil mirahu jayek meydanehu tu hi tu ho, tu hi tu ho, tu hi tu. اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و گل درد دل ہو درد دل ہو درد دل غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھو جندر لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 لا لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نرأي مستانا خشمي آئدم تابت جانا چنيني بائدم الله جل جلاله تعالى شانه الله الله Allah, 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 Allah. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب. Allah, 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 Allah. Allah, 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 Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu laka shukru kullu. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. O most kind Allah, most forgiving Allah, most loving Allah, Allah forgive us, Ya Allah. Allah forgive us for all our sins, Ya Allah. Especially sin of backbiting, of pride, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if you have usurped anyone's rights, Ya Allah, you pay them back on our behalf, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from all these evil sins, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us big and generous hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, wherever the Muslims are in difficulty, Ya Allah, especially in Syria, Ya Allah, in Iraq, Ya Allah, in Palestine, Ya Allah. Wherever they are in difficulties, you remove the difficult hardships, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, spread the winds of Hidayah throughout the world, Ya Allah. Give Hidayah to non-Muslims also, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, show your mercy upon the Muslims, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept the efforts of all those, Ya Allah, who are doing humanitarian efforts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are making humanitarian in any way, accept the efforts, Ya Allah. Grant me acceptance, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept all those that suffer, Ya Allah. Make us suffer a means of Hidayah, Ya Allah, for the whole of mankind, Ya Allah, for us also, Ya Allah. Make it a means of our Islah, Ya Allah, or the Islah of our families, Ya Allah, of all the Muslims, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us humility, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from the sin of pride, Ya Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu ala al-mursalin. Alhamdulillah.